May it please the court.
Morning.
Chris Cuneo, amicus here on behalf of appellant plaintiff Jackie Robinson Reeder. At every turn in this litigation, ACE has moved to block Ms. Robinson Reeder's access to trial. And now ACE moves to block Ms. Robinson Reeder's access to appeal. They moved to block her access to appeal on the grounds that Ms. Robinson Reeder, a pro se litigant, has somehow manipulated or manufactured jurisdiction to appear before this court.
Well, we don't have to accept their allegations about motive to deal with the question here, do we? Namely, whether a dismissal of the claim without prejudice defeats appellate jurisdiction. Do we?
No. If you wanted to decide the case on the basis that any dismissal without prejudice defeats the case, you could establish such a rule. Uh-huh. But I don't think that that's the rule that this circuit would want to adopt.
Uh-huh. Well, the rule, we've already adopted a rule. I mean, Sierowski already sets out our rule. Our rule is that if you dismiss without prejudice an action, it's final. But if you dismiss without prejudice a complaint or a count of a complaint, then it's not final, right?
Exactly.
Okay. Now, at the time at which Ms. Robinson Reeder appealed to this court, the district court had not done either one. It had not dismissed the complaint, and it had not dismissed the action. Isn't that right? All it said was that I will dismiss the complaint if you don't. I will dismiss the defamation claim unless you file an amended complaint. That's all that happened as of the time she filed, right?
Well, I think so, Your Honor. But the way I understand the district court's ruling is that it had dismissed with prejudice her Title VII claim.
Yes.
Right.
Indicated that it would dismiss her defamation claim
if she didn't file.
If she didn't file.
Right. Yes. So on the day on which she filed her appeal in this court, we can all agree that there was no final judgment, an appealable judgment in the district court, right?
Of the defamation claim.
Of anything. Because under Rule 54, if you only dismiss some but not all the claims, we don't have a final judgment, unless there's a Rule 54B certification, which there wasn't.
Correct.
Okay. So we all agree that it was absolutely clear that there was no final judgment on the day on which she appealed. Where do you go from there?
Well, I would say that it was not absolutely clear that there was no
final judgment. I thought you just agreed with me. Let me just read you the judge's, a lot of this case is complicated, but this part of the case doesn't seem very complicated. The order, which is at JA-73, says, the plaintiff's disparate treatment and retaliation claims are hereby dismissed. The court will dismiss plaintiff's defamation claim if an amended complaint asserting that claim and a proper independent basis for federal jurisdiction is not filed within 20 days.
Correct.
Right.
So how we are here is that within that 20 days, while Ms. Robinson Reeder...
Okay, but before we get to the 20 days,
okay,
she didn't wait 20 days to appeal. She appealed right away, before those 20 days had passed, right?
Correct.
So we got to go step by step.
Sure.
So as of the day she appealed, there was no final appealable judgment, right?
Correct.
Okay, go ahead. So how do you get us there?
So the order then becomes a final order when Ms. Robinson Reeder does not establish that separate basis for jurisdiction over the state law defamation claim.
All right. Well, there seem to be two questions there. Okay. The first question is, even if you're right, how does that help you? Because on the day she actually appealed, it wasn't final. So for that, you have to turn to the Outlaw case, right?
Correct. And
okay. Now, how does Outlaw help you?
Outlaw helps because it gives...
A great name for a case, although unfortunately it has nothing to do with the topic.
It gives... And in particular, I'd like to highlight in this case where Ms. Robinson Reeder is pro se, Outlaw gives a litigant the chance to a prematurely filed notice of appeal can become effective if a Rule 54 severance could have been entered.
No, it doesn't say that. It doesn't say that at all. It says, actually has two requirements. One, that the litigant has to reasonably but mistakenly believe that they had a final judgment at the time.
Right.
But as you and I agree, there is no ground for there being a final judgment at that point. And second, the non-final decision from which the appeal was noted would be appealable if it was immediately followed by the entry of judgment.
Right.
Right. So. But there was no entry of judgment. You have to do both. First of all, you have to have both, and I don't really see the former. But even as to the latter, I take it that's where you're taking me.
Right.
Where is the final entry of judgment?
The final entry judgment becomes self-actuating when Ms. Robinson Reeder doesn't establish jurisdiction.
But she did file a complaint.
She filed a complaint. ACE moved to strike it.
All right, but she did exactly what the district court asked, right?
Right.
Within 20 days, she filed a complaint.
Correct.
Okay, so with respect to the order from which she is appealing, she's done everything necessary to preserve the complaint.
Except for the fact that ACE has moved to strike that complaint.
Well,
and
the district court didn't dismiss the case.
The court did not dismiss the case because the parties at that point both agreed to stipulate to simplify it and
to dismiss without prejudice.
Dismiss without prejudice. Correct.
So, but under that theory, if that were all that was necessary, couldn't a plaintiff, I don't want to say anything about the motives of ACE here,
right,
which I think is the question Judge Tatel was asking, but only just as a matter of our own jurisdiction, under this theory, anybody who loses some claims, where both parties want to hear those claims decided on appeal, could get a final judgment simply by dismissing the other claims without prejudice. That's your view, right?
Well, it's definitely going to be a case by case.
Well, no, but and that would be a complete end run around both Rule 54 and the collateral order doctrine, wouldn't it?
If the parties deliberately cooperate.
Well, it wouldn't be. If we announced the rule that you're asking us to announce, there would be nothing nefarious about the parties doing this. We would be saying that this is okay. So if we were to say today that if you have, I think you had four discrimination claims, right? And if they're something like that.
ACE says there are four.
How many do you say there are?
One.
All right. One discrimination and one defamation, right?
Right.
So if we were to say if you have one of each and you lose one, you can dismiss the other without prejudice and get the one you lost on heard. That's your position, right?
I would not go so far as globally to say that. I'd say under these facts.
What's different about your case?
This case is that second claim is a state law defamation claim, which this district court has said doesn't appear before it.
Right, but this district court said you could file it as a diversity claim here.
You could.
Right, so your position then would be that in any case in which there is a federal question claim and a diversity claim, the federal question claim is dismissed with prejudice. You can get that heard by dismissing without prejudice the diversity claim.
Correct.
Okay. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Okay. I also think it's important to, if the court decides that it has jurisdiction here, to address the merits of the case, which comes up from, as Judge Garland pointed out, that ACE has asserted there are four or five, I forget exactly, discrimination claims, which it itself set up and then knocked down in its briefing.
But if we decide there's no appellate jurisdiction, those questions can be appealed later when you have a final order. Right. In other words, you're not being given. Are you making this argument because you think that unless we address the merits, there'll never be an opportunity to do it?
Correct. You're right.
But once you have a final order, it's all appealable.
But Ms. Robinson Reeder can't get a final order anymore because that case has been closed.
Which case has been closed?
The underlying district court case has been closed.
What, the Title VII case?
Yes.
No, if it's not final, then it's still appealable.
But he finally dismissed the Title VII case with prejudice.
Where is there an order dismissing the Title VII case?
Yes,
but there was no case. You had one complaint,
right,
and the complaint had both in it. So all he dismissed was he didn't use the word case at all. He used the word claims, right? So he hasn't dismissed the case. He's only dismissed certain claims.
Well, assuming there are two claims, he's dismissed the Title VII claim.
Is there anything preventing you returning to district court now and asking for a judgment on the defamation claim or a 54B certification? What's preventing you from doing that?
I don't believe that there is anything preventing us from doing that at this point.
He might not give it to you, but you can ask for it.
Right.
But you see our point? All these issues are fully appealable once you have a final order.
That is correct, Your Honor.
Okay.
Yes. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Good morning. May it please the Court? The appellee's position is that the district court's January 29th memorandum opinion and order was correct, but before we can talk about that, you have to satisfy yourselves that
Do you agree that if there is no appellate jurisdiction here because there isn't yet a final order, that the merits of the Title VII dismissals can be appealed when there is a final order?
If there were a final order, of course they could
later.
Be appealable.
Later. You agree with that?
Yes.
Okay.
If I can continue.
Sure.
I think that whether or not the case should be remanded for entry of that final order is something for this court to consider. Certainly, if the appellant had, instead of filing a stipulation of dismissal without prejudice, sought a motion from the court dismissing with prejudice or without prejudice and asked for entry of judgment at that time, she would have the final order or judgment necessary under Rule 4A to have made her untimely or premature notice of appeal timely. But 4A does not save her at this point because there is no order and there is no judgment that followed her notice of appeal. What I want to discuss is whether a remand for the entry of that judgment is appropriate when a plaintiff has opted to dismiss without prejudice rather than abandon the claim or take the claim all the way through the case.
I don't see why it makes any difference whether we remand or not. If we simply say we have no interlocutory jurisdiction now, it goes back to the district court, whether we say the word remand or not. Is there some procedural element here that I'm missing?
The procedural element that I think is missing is that if you conclude there's no jurisdiction, to hear the judge.
Because it's an interlocutory appeal.
Because it's an interlocutory appeal. Yeah. Uh-huh. And because the plaintiff in the underlying case has dismissed without prejudice the remaining cause of action in that case, What would Judge Bates enter judgment on?
I don't know. Is this really our problem? I mean, your position is that there is no final. Your position is that the case below was not dismissed, because if you take the other position, under Sierowski, we have an appeal, correct?
The case below is not dismissed.
Okay, so what's the difference if we say, it's like if, imagine you're in a regular litigation and somebody loses one claim and the rest of the case is going to trial and they appeal to us on the one claim and we said, sorry, this is a collateral order and that's the end of it, leave us alone. We don't have to say, and therefore we remand, or anything like that.
Yes, you simply need to say that this appeal it must be dismissed for lack. You do not have jurisdiction over the January 29th order.
Yes, but what is the? I'm not understanding the point you're making about remands.
The point I'm making is once you've done that, The underlying case from which this developed, I don't think the fact that it's been closed by the clerk is dispositive.
Right, apparently everybody agrees with that.
Yeah. Well, I'm not sure that the amicus agrees with
that. Well, the amicus agrees that they don't have a final judgment on all the counts and that we still have the case. But go ahead.
Yes. So if you dismiss this, the proper procedural, I guess, move by the plaintiff would be to get entry of judgment on something.
Yes.
I question what that something would be, because you can't get entry of judgment on the January 29th order since it's not final.
Well, she could drop her state claims with prejudice.
She already dropped them. They're no longer there.
But she didn't drop.
But she dropped them without prejudice.
She dropped them without prejudice and has refiled them elsewhere.
Yeah.
I'm not sure where you're going here, but it sounds to me where you're going would mean we do have jurisdiction here. So I think you ought to think very carefully about the path that you're proceeding on. If the path you're proceeding on now is that she has nothing to do anymore, then we have a final judgment that we can review. Is that really the path you're proceeding on?
Not at all.
So I assume that if we decide against jurisdiction now, there is something she can do in the district court to get a final judgment.
I believe procedurally there's something she could try to do, yes. I think she could try to get a Rule 54B certification, which I believe would be denied. I believe she could pursue her case to its conclusion and then appeal at that time.
Or she could dismiss it with prejudice, right?
I'm not sure what she has left to dismiss with prejudice, Your Honor.
So you think there's no case left then, and therefore we have jurisdiction?
No. I think that there is no final judgment, so you do not have jurisdiction.
And why is there no final judgment?
Because following the notice, at the time the notice of appeal was filed, there was no final judgment. There was just the January 29th order. The only thing I believe you asked Amicus is where do we go from here, since that was the state of affairs. I think we do all now agree that was the state of affairs. Where we go from here is look to see whether there can be relief under Rule 4A. To save.
Assuming there can't be relief, I'm assuming for the moment that you win here, that there is no interlocutory jurisdiction. What happens next in your view?
I think there are a number of different procedural moves the plaintiff could make. There's nothing for the defendant to do. You dismiss the appeal for lack of jurisdiction. The plaintiff would go back to Judge Bates in this case and consider whether there could be an entry of judgment on the January 29th order at this time, whether she could get Rule 54B certification. There are a number of different things that could happen. Once those things should not dictate what this court does or whether this court concludes it has jurisdiction. I agree with you, there are things that can be done. Whether this plaintiff can get a final judgment on the January 29th order at this time, I'm not sure what Judge
Bates would do. The district court could dismiss the case, right?
If the district court entered a judgment tomorrow, or let's say you ruled today, and said the action, not just the complaint, not just causes of action.
As the author of Swarovski,
I'm familiar with the
language. If the district court said the action is dismissed,
yes,
that would be the end, right?
That would be the end, exactly like Swarovski.
Right.
In Swarovski, there was an order exactly like the January 29th order, dismissing with leave to amend. That was in February of 2001. In December of 2001, since that hadn't been done, the entire case was dismissed.
I'm just asking you, if this went back to the district court and the district court dismissed the case that had been before the district court, the case, the action, that would be the end, right?
Then that would be the end.
That would be final.
That would be final.
Okay.
That's Swarovski. But that would be the district court doing it, not the plaintiff.
Yeah, I understand. That's why I asked the question. If the district court dismissed the action, would that make it final? And your answer is yes. And that has to be your answer because that's what we already said.
That's the only answer to that question. And with respect to the merits, I don't know if you would like to hear about the merits.
No. I don't think we need to.
Okay.
Thank you
very much.
Does Mr. Cuneo have any more time? You can take 1 minute if you like it.
Thank you, Your Honor. I would just like to highlight the point that if this court finds that it is premature to take this case now, then remand to the district court would be appropriate, and we can seek final judgment there.
And I think, I know this seems complicated. This is very complicated. But in the end, I think everybody agrees that you just heard opposing counsel agree that if the action is dismissed by the district court, then you have a final appealable judgment. I mean, I can't say whether the district court will do that. Opposing counsel is exactly right. We have no idea whether the district court will do it. And I can't say whether you will win or lose on the merits. We're not even discussing the merits. But if you want to get the case resolved, you need to get the case dismissed. Or you can ask for a 54B, but again, as opposing counsel points out, district court may or may not grant that.
Understood. Thank you very much.
Mr. Cuneo, the court appointed you to serve as amicus, and we are grateful to you for your assistance. Thank you. Case is submitted.